Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, and podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be with us, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome the folks who are bringing you the theater production that opens tonight called The Moon is to Live On. It's a production by Meow Wolf, and Megan Burns is director. Vince Kadlubeck is executive producer and writer of the play. Corvus Brinkerhoff is technical director, and David Lockridge is one of the performers. Welcome to the Cafe Radio Cafe.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you. So this is this weekend and next weekend. Meow Wolf, whom we've had on the air really since they began, are known, I think, in the community for these kind of wild and crazy installations. And now you have taken on this work of theater. How did that come about?
Well, we kind of have always wanted to dabble in some theater stuff. Megan being a director and over at Santa Fe Performing Arts, and we had the experience. I've done some theater stuff in the past, and we got approached by Warehouse 21 to do something inside their building, and it was kind of an open invitation to do anything. And I just took it upon myself to just kind of knee jerk react, just say we're doing theater. I want to use the black box. I saw the play that Robert Knott did and that Megan was in, and it was like right after that we got asked, and I was just like kind of inspired by that black box theater and how nice it is, and I was just like, let's just do theater. And so that was back in, gosh, September, maybe even August, and that's when the process began.
So you wrote the whole play and assembled everything in what must seem like an extremely small amount of time.
Yeah, especially given all the aspects of it.
It's a very complex production. It's not just actors on the stage. Yeah. It's acting, music, video, all kinds of props and sets, and that sort of Meow Wolf crazy visual aesthetic.
Right. We wanted to go about it. We're basically calling it a multimedia, multidimensional art installation piece. Based in a story, you know, with a storyline is kind of the idea.
Yeah.
We're really interested in blurring the line between theater and installation. And I'm really excited from this play to go back into the installation world and take the tools and the things we've learned from this process and apply that to installation and just kind of keep mashing the two different schools of thought together.
Because pretty much what we did was we took we made an art installation into a theater piece. And I'm really interested in doing it the other way around, taking a theater piece and making it into an art installation. So having an actual gallery opening where people walk in, walk through, there's no seating, and they think that they're going to an art installation. And it is, but it's an actual story-based, you know, so.
Well, that remains to be seen.
Right.
Meanwhile, what you have here is, I mean, when I came into it, I thought, oh boy, if this is a theater that doesn't really have a plot and just things happen, it might be deadly horrible.
Yeah.
But it has a storyline. It has a beginning, middle, and end, kind of a classic love triangle, and a few other slightly crazy characters thrown in. But basically, it is a story, which is very important for something like this, to have something the audience can hang on to.
Totally. And in the process of thinking of theater, we're like, there's no way we're just going to do a bunch of effects and just a bunch of random stuff for, you know, for an hour and a half, 2 hours, because it's just not going to work. We knew that we needed to come at it with a theater base, you know, and with Megan's experience doing theater, like we knew that we could really capitalize off of that, you know, and have a theater base and actually bring to life characters and bring to life story and develop it.
One thing that I found fascinating that really worked was that you've got three video screens basically above the stage, and there are these, what do you call them? These beings in black cloaks.
They're called phantasms.
Yeah. Phantasms. Yeah, they look like some kind of archetypal characters walking around the stage in and out of the action with these video cameras, and the things that they are shooting are live, or there's other things, other video too, mm-hmm. but a lot of it is live images going onto the screens. And so it's really a kind of interesting hybrid between film and theater, because you get close-ups. You get close-ups of people's gestures and their hands and the details on their desks and things like that.
I can't imagine doing another play without using that tool. It just expands the storytelling potential of theater so much to be able to have things like that read. You can have the back of something. It also makes a lot of extra work in terms of set design and prop design, because everything can be exposed from 360 degrees. Normally in theater, you just have to make a facade and it's done, you know?
You can't fake it when everything can be filmed.
Right. Yeah.
And usually everything has to be big. Like, you need big actions, you need big movements, you need big voice, you need big reactions, you need big art piece or big set pieces. And now we can have these little tiny dioramas in one set, or we can have comics that you, from the audience's point of view, you can't read, but now with video, they're readable.
And as technical director, Corvus, you had a huge job, because as I was watching the dress rehearsal, I mean, it opens tonight. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's performance is sold out, so don't try to go tonight, but there's tickets for the other days. But as I was watching it, the amount of coordination that is necessary to make this play happen is unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect example of where ignorance can be really valuable. I think if I knew how much work it was going to be going into it, I would have hesitated. Or tried to simplify. But we've got a lot of amazing people. I mean, there's just such a... one of the most exciting things about it is the momentum that built over the first couple months we were getting started. We've got so many people, and we have four people on the tech end of things that are operating sound, lights, video. So it really... I really have to give all the credit to the people that have helped do it. That's really how we've been able to pull this together.
Megan, one of the things that I was thinking about while watching it is that it has that combination of theater aesthetic where the people are in the drama, having their dramas, and this other thing with the, I don't know if it's a kind of Greek drama with these phantasms floating around or what, but there's other dimensions to it so that the audience is both in the story and kind of hovering outside of the story thinking a lot of other thoughts.
I think that's a good way to put it. I don't really know what to say about that.
You know, we come from the Nickelodeon generation. You know, we when I go to theater, usually it's it's boring, to be completely honest. There's not enough happening, and it's an art form that is in a lot of ways stuck in the past. You can't even really have cell phones in your storyline for some reason, even though we live with cell phones. You can't have internet in your storyline. And so that was one of our things that we set out, was like, we want to do theater, but we want to bring it to our generation and with the trust that our generation, and not even just our generation, but the current living generation that has to juggle all of these different mediums on a day-to-day basis anyway, and present all these mediums at once, you know, to tell the story. And we just trust that, like, that the audience will be able to handle it and enjoy it, you know, and they can pretty much choose their own adventure. You know, you can watch the phantasms, you can watch the video screens, or you can watch live on stage, or you can really...
Right.
Have your own experience.
And one thing I like about it is that you've got a lot of generations of technology going at once. So you've got an old overhead projector from what looks like the 1970s projecting these, what are those things called?
Like cell in transparencies
onto the ground. And at the same time, you've got somebody gets a text message and the Phantasm's camera is on the text message. So you see what it is.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that was the initial kind of push, is we really wanted to just amplify the different mediums that we have available to ourselves and what video gives us the ability to present. And, you know, internet, cell phones were things that obviously, like, you showing a text message on a cell phone is something that you can do now if we have video. You know, it's basic.
So, David, you play the main character, the lead character, Robert, who is in a somewhat unhappy marriage, and as fate would have it, it's a common story, meets a young woman at work. Is this your first acting experience?
This is.
So what was it like for you to take on this huge role?
Well, it's been quite an adventure. I mean, the benefit to doing a role like this without ever having done any role before is that I've been able to more or less kind of be molded with the help of Megan and with the help of the crew around me. It's been a very organic experience with people that trust and love each other to basically help us find what we can do. When Vince was writing the story, he had an idea of what we were all capable of before he ever put anything on paper. So it really was an experience for him to say, okay, this is what my friends and my, you know, art associates can do, so this is how I can utilize that when we actually put something on the stage.
Tell us a little bit about your character. He works for Old Spice, and his best friend is in the next cubicle.
He does. Robert is a very internalized person. Not too uncommonly, he basically drudges through his day, and in his waking life is doing everything by a very textbook standard of what he thought was the way a professional should go about his life, coming into his 30s. So he wakes up in the morning, he eats the same breakfast every day, he goes to the same job, and he does something that he just doesn't like at all. He writes adjectives to try to sell Old Spice to third world countries. So it's kind of a mind-numbing existence of adjective after adjective, simplifying those adjectives down, and then trying to get into the headspace of somebody that he's never met that's thousands of miles away. And the only real release that Robert has is after he's through, he goes to the bar with his best friend, and he kind of lives out this very drunken, imaginative world, and then goes home and dreams about it. Wakes up in quite a stupor, and then goes about his day again, day after day. And so this is the opportunity for Robert to finally break out of that box.
Right.
And he does it through quite a lot of external influence, both imaginative, in another dimension, and in his own world.
The play starts out with this thing which was hilarious, which was an ad for a capsule that suppresses dreams, which of course is a metaphor for the performance, with Megan's lovely face advertising this pill.
Dramnolate. Propafsomnitol Dramnolate.
Right. One thing about the performance, so the young woman whom your character meets, whom Robert meets, is an artist, and so you have to have, not only is she a comic book artist, you, Meow Wolf, have to come up with walls and walls of these comics, which are her art, so it's like an artwork within an artwork.
Totally, and that was one of the things that we wanted to do, is we wanted to pack this, we wanted this to feel like an art installation, we wanted this to still feel like a collaborative art gallery opening, and that the amount of work there would equate the amount of work at a gallery opening. And so we had probably maybe 20 people contribute to that comic wall. And then in the mentors set, all the dioramas, we had, I think, 4 different people contribute to those dioramas. So all in all, like 40 different people contributing.
And the mentor is yet another character in this drama. The sets that you have are also very creatively done. So you've got these platforms that rotate 360 degrees. And as you were saying before, you can't get away with just a facade because you can see everything literally from 360 degrees. And these sort of crazy phantasm characters keep muscling them around so that they turn. And so suddenly you're in the office or the other side of the office or in the kitchen.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. We set out, this is the only way that we can do it. We need this many sets. We can't do it with just one set, and so let's rotate it. And so I kind of passed it along to Corvus, and then Corvus thought it up and passed it along to Sean Diani, and Sean knocked it out.
We have something like 6 locations in that little tiny playhouse theater.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
Right, we needed to figure out a way of expanding that theater because it's really small, and so you can only do so much. So the rotating sets was imperative.
And, of course, the bar has the signature Meow Wolf piles and piles of television sets.
Yeah, the Matt King signature. The bar itself is called the Vibe Hut, which is one of the alternative names to Meow Wolf. When we had initially created Meow Wolf, we almost called it the Vibe Hut. So now we brought the Vibe Hut back, and that's what the bar is called. So it's totally a Meow Wolf created bar for sure.
The concept really was, if Meow Wolf were commissioned by Corzone or something to make a bar, what would that look like?
Right. So interspersed with all of this, theater is also dance, live music, and all sorts of things. So you really are kind of going from one genre to another.
Yeah, there's, I think, 4 live bands that play.
Yeah, 4 different live bands. We have, like, and then we have, I think, 10 different dancers and...
4 different choreographers.
Yeah. And so, and then the video contribution came from 4 or 5 different people also. So.
And lest you think, ladies and gentlemen, that it doesn't hang together
right.
because it's so much stuff and it's so crazy, I have to say I went to this rehearsal with no expectations at all, thinking, okay, what are they up to? You know, let's see how this is. None of them, except for Megan, really has ever done theater before. One of the actresses is an experienced actress, but the rest of them are not. And I came out of it just very, very happy. Because it worked. And I thought, what is it that makes this work? Because it's not like any of the pieces is this virtuosic, realized artwork. But then I thought, okay, it's like a mosaic. Like, it's made up of lots of little pieces. And none of the pieces by itself is perfect. But when you put them together, it actually creates an effect that is planned and really does hold its own.
And I think what the reason that that is the way it is because... there are a few people with a really, really, really clear vision of how it all needs to be, and then the ability to communicate to over 40 different artists as to really what it needs to look like and feel like. And that's been totally possible, which is amazing that all these people involved in it are willing to hear what it needs to be and then be willing to, on a volunteer basis, totally give time and energy to this just one vision, one piece.
Yeah, and the fact that that one vision or small group collaboration then can filter into a large number of people in what had, you know, heretofore been a kind of almost anarchic collaborative group is really saying a lot.
Right, and that's something that we, us three specifically, me, Megan, and Corvus, really wanted to bring to a Meowulf project was... kind of breaking that barrier down, breaking that definition down that Meowulf is just kind of, you know, loose and crazy and just thrown together. You know, the aesthetic itself is beautiful, and the work that it creates is beautiful. So we wanted to keep the aesthetic of thrown together, but we wanted to bring a certain amount of consciousness and order and refinement to something, so that, you know, if anyone ever thought like Meowulf just throws their stuff together, this performance is totally gonna prove them wrong, you know, and show
Indeed.
That we have organizational skill, choreographical skill, you know.
Yeah. And let's not forget to talk about the costumes and masks, which are a big part of it.
Huge part of it.
Oh, so beautiful.
There's tons of people involved in it. Katie Kennedy and Sarah Bradley have been the designers on them. There's the costumes that they're making are completely unbelievable.
Yeah. They're my favorite part of the entire production. I tell them every time I see them, I say, your costumes are holding together everything. Because they really are. They're just so fascinating, so beautiful. And they create the energy of the space when we need that energy of that space created. When we don't have dialogue, when we need their costumes, just do it. It emanates from their costumes. It's awesome.
And yet they're still in service of the story. I mean, I was thinking as I was watching it that these phantasm or mythological characters
right.
are like spirits who whisper in your ear and or ancestors
Absolutely.
Who are pushing you around or whatever. And so they really tie into a lot of sort of semi-mystical and or theatrical traditions.
Absolutely. The trans-dimension, I call them trans-dimensional beings, and that's what they've been from the beginning, is trans-dimensional beings. And we basically just gave that word to Katie, and we said, Katie, we need 5 trans-dimensional beings. And she instantly started coming up with them. And it was like, that's all we needed. And so the fact that that then translates over to you for seeing it for the first time, and you're getting that, it's like, it's brilliant. She nailed it.
Excellent. Well, the production is called The Moon Is to Live On. We're talking to Megan Burns, Vince Cadlebeck, Corvus Brinkerhoff, and David Lockridge. And once again, the production is at Warehouse 21 here in Santa Fe, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, this weekend and next weekend. The Friday and Saturday shows are at 7 in the evening. The Sunday is at 2 in the afternoon. You can go to meowwolf.com, and at the top of the page is a link to this play. It says The Moon Is to Live On. You click on that, and you can see whether it's sold out or not. Tonight is sold out, but I think there's still tickets for all the rest of the productions. well worth seeing. Tremendous fun and very inspiring. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte.
I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is a writer for the Santa Fe New Mexican, and he is formerly with and kind of still with the Posse Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine.
It's pretty 50-50, and we're still forging this new identity for Maine. Everybody's being really patient about it, and I am going to be covering more and more educational topics. I seem to be still covering the film industry. I still give a couple pieces per week to Posse Tiempo, and it's kind of a fun, exciting new Write a Story a Day event for me, but I'm not the associate editor anymore, nor am I involved in any executive decisions over there. So, but thank you for introducing me.
New Mexico's burgeoning film industry.
Wow, yeah, I know. Always something interesting going on. Those Meowwolf guys are bright, and I'm looking forward to seeing the show. I can't go this weekend, but I'll go next weekend. Megan Burns in particular, who I've worked with about 6 times, is a really sharp young lady, and whenever people get into a discussion about whether quote-unquote young artists of any ilk should stay in Santa Fe, where there don't seem to be many opportunities, I always think that they're the ones that have to stay and forge a new arts community here. If we want a, and I'm not trying to delineate it, I know some people think it's a controversial topic. If we want a young youth arts community here, they're the ones that have got to make a go. And Megan and a lot of the people at Meowwolf and at Warehouse 21 and independent young artists not involved with either organization, they're the only ones that can do it, and I hope they stay. So I'm looking forward to seeing that show.
Yeah, I thought it was, well, as you can probably tell from having listened, I thought it was terrific, and the fact that they are staying in Santa Fe and are, I don't know, they're just really creative people. Anyway, so tonight is sold out, but the other days and nights, there's still tickets this weekend and next weekend.
Right. I'm enjoying Doug Fairfield's Art and Review Art Criticism of Joe Batiste's Myth Paintings at the Eli Levin Studio, 830 Canyon Road.
Why, because it mentioned the Three Stooges?
This is what's funny, aside from the fact that there's a few nudes in there, because you got it with the Greeks, those guys were always taking off their clothes. I know, I lived there for 2 years, and I couldn't keep mine on. Yesterday, when we were helping...
Notice how I'm not asking you for any more details.
No, you don't have to. I think sometimes you just have to put out the bare facts. Anyway, so Dan Garrity and I were talking yesterday on the fun drive for you.
And by the way, thank you. I'm going to interrupt you. Thank you to everybody who contributed to the Chaos of Our Fun Drive. Yay.
Yay.
We did very well. I don't know what the final numbers were, but we want to thank everybody. Because we were doing these, we explained this yesterday, and you, Robert Knott, were kind enough to come on with me from 9 to 10 in the morning. We are doing now these one-day fun drives in which people, instead of having to slog through two weeks or more of our asking you to contribute, we just do it one day every few months. So that people seem to like that model. In fact, we would like to know if you like that model. Write to me at radiocafe@ksfr.org and let me know.
Excellent. Anyway, Dan and I mentioned the Three Stooges Meet Hercules, a great movie, and so does Doug Fairfield, coincidentally, in his Art and Review, page 32, Posse Tiempo. A little mess up that was not Posse Tiempo's fault. Last Friday, we ran a review of The Last Station, playing at DeVargas. Surprise, surprise, the print did not arrive. DeVargas could not show the movie.
Oh, no.
But we still have a chili blurb by Jonathan Richards in there. Apparently, it has opened at Regal DeVargas. And again, that was not honestly our fault. Occasionally, these things happen, and they couldn't get their print in. And I can't remember a time when that's occurred before. Dave Cargo
So their prints didn't come.
Someday the prints will come. Dave Cargo, former governor of New Mexico back in the 60s. I believe at that time he was one of the youngest governors in American history because he was in his 30s. He was also one of the people that really got the film industry going here at that time, although it's stopped and sputtered and then zoomed forward since. He's written his autobiography called Lonesome Dove, The Story of New Mexico Governor David Francis Cargo. And that's by Sunstone Press. And he's going to be speaking about that and reading from his memoirs at 6 o'clock Monday, March 1st, at Collected Works Bookstore, 202 Galisteo Street, 988-4226.
Excellent.
Now, as you know, I think you know, this is the big weekend in February, the big weekend for Art Feast.
Art Feast. Yay.
Started in 1998. They call it the Edible Art Tour. You go to various galleries. You eat. You hopefully look at the art. I think more people go to eat and be seen and chat with one another. But nonetheless, the money goes to help. And there's a number of events. You should read the Posse Tiempo today to take a look at what those are. There's a great story by Rob DeWalt around page 30, 28, 29, 30, 31. Great photos. This stuff goes to help arts education funding in the schools, outside of what the schools can do. And at this time with economic crisis and still some concerns about whether the special session of legislature next week will cut education, this stuff's pretty vital. It's great. I've been on it four or five times in my life. I remember writing a fun piece about the first-person event about 3 years ago. A lot of galleries taking place. I'm going to do a random discussion of them, but page 30 of PASA will tell you all of them. Includes the Edge Gallery, Darnell Fine Art, Arlene Siegel Gallery, Jane Sauer Gallery, Joe Wade, Manitou, New Art, Peterson Cody, Pop Gallery, Ventana El Centro, William Joseph Gallery, Zane Bennett, all over. It's not just in Canyon Road. You can take the little bus that goes around, and basically you should call 988-1234, the Lenzic, oddly enough, for tickets for the Edible Art Tour. It's tonight. I think it's 5 to 8, so, and then all weekend there's like brunches with artists and visits to homes, and they sell plates. So have you done this many times?
I've done it a few times, and I'll tell you what, some of the food is spectacular.
It is. I mean, honestly, and it is fun to schmooze and do the food, and the money goes to a good cause, and ideally, again, you slow down and look at the art that you want to look at. And it's great.
Oh, yeah, the art, too.
Yeah,
right.
No, but honestly, it's a great, I've loved doing it. I think I've done it 4 times in 10 years, which is pretty good. And it's like Zizobra. I mean, you go every few years and you have fun, but
right.
But some people want to go every year. It's for a great cause.
No, it's worth going. A friend of mine is, and now I'm blanking on the name of the gallery, but works at a gallery where they're going to be dressing up as Andy Warhol and Frida Kahlo and Basquiat and all those things.
Is that Ventana, I wonder? Because Ventana sometimes will dress up to fit the theme.
I can't. I just don't remember.
What would happen if like they did a show of all nudes? Would the ensemble show up that way, too, to fit the paintings?
Hey, did you see the Olympic ice skating finals last night?
No, are they nude?
No, but they do wear these pretty skimpy little adorable costumes. But, man, there are some amazing female world-class ice skaters.
I should watch.
You should, but you missed it.
Is it tonight?
No, it was last night. I was watching it.
Is it over now?
Yes, you can watch probably the reruns on YouTube or something like that.
This is a fine thing. Now she tells me Friday. Yesterday I was on the show with her for an hour helping her out. She could have said one little word to me about tonight. Pay attention.
Tonight, well, not tonight, but tomorrow night at the Lodge, Mambo Italiano.
Hey, Mambo.
Who used to be Mambo a Italiano. Great DJ and a guy who always made salsa things happen in Santa Fe, I think moved to Illinois to go to graduate school. And he is back for a one-day appearance at the Mambo Room, 9 in the evening till 1 in the morning at the Lodge.
There's a cover charge. It's a little cheaper if you show up before 10 p.m.
Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen.
So head on over. Mambo Italiano. Remember Dean Martin singing that song? He did a great version of that.
Yes, Mambo, I remember that from my youth in
Italiano.
1947.
Well, you have to, we've had this discussion too often. You have to go back and pay attention to pop culture of different eras to understand the people you're dealing with on Friday morning across the table from you.
All right.
What good does it do me to discuss, shall we say, Gilligan's Island, Ursula Andress, or, what's that other one? Charlie's Angels, if you haven't paid some attention to them.
Charlie's Angels with, like, Drew Barrymore?
No, the great TV show in the 70s when they were always getting the girls into swimsuits and hot tubs, and in one great episode they went to women's prison. That was terrific. I got to find that one. Okay, there's a lot of theater going on. You mentioned the Meow Wolf Show, The
Yes.
Moon is to Live On, Warehouse 21, 989-4423, a collaboration between Warehouse and the wonderful Meow Wolf.
Meow. Wow, that was you.
Fame. Santa Fe Prep is doing Fame, 7:30 tonight, over the weekend. Call 982-1829 for information. College of Santa Fe continues with Alan Ball's Five Women Wearing the Same Dress, which I would love to see. I'd like to see the four
at the
that
same
I can't
time?
Fit into it. Well, that's the fun part. 8 o'clock, 473-6511. I'm mentioning tonight's times. These shows generally run through the weekend with generally a Sunday matinee. Teatro Paraguas continues Robert Benjamin's play Parted Waters. It's moved over to Capitol High for the weekend.
Oh, right,
7:30 tonight, 424-1601. Benchwarmers 9 continuing at the Playhouse through the weekend. I don't know if tonight is... This is the final weekend, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm planning on going this weekend.
6-2. And Theater Works apparently totally sold out. Emil's Enemies continues at the New Mexico School for the Deaf's James A. Little Theater. You can call and put yourself on a waiting list. This is the word I'm getting, 471-1799.
I know. I heard the same thing. Somebody I know was trying to get tickets.
I know,
and
ditto.
Go.
And so,
that's great. Theater Works rocks.
Actually,
on.
It is. The word of mouth on this show is excellent. And frankly, I got a Pasta Tiempo cover last week, which I'm happy about. But
yeah.
I have nothing to do with that, but... Okay, and
hey,
finally, Dream Jungle. You know what that is?
Uh-uh.
Well, it's at 8 o'clock tomorrow at the Rail Yard. They're going to be doing experimental audiovisual performance dance set with DJ Amani. Okay, so that's tomorrow night. Go ahead, you got something to say?
Opening reception of Santa Fe's first permanent heart gallery exhibit is today at 4:30 at Christ of St. Vincent Regional Medical Center. It's free. It's on the second floor lobby. And the Heart Gallery, we featured on the show a number of times, but basically the beautiful and brilliant Diane Granito had this idea some years ago to get professional photographers to take portrait photographs of children and teenagers in the foster care system. Uh-huh. And they would have exhibitions of them, and people would fall in love with these children through their photographs and bring them into adoption or foster care or whatever, but give them good homes. And so this Heart Gallery idea has caught on all over the country, and so this opening of the permanent Heart Gallery is tonight.
Excellent. The Andrews Sisters. I was asked to write a piece for today's Pasta Tiempo about them, since I love that kind of boogie-woogie jazz. You know much about them?
There were three of them, and they sang, "Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. I know that.
My favorite one is, "I'll be with you in apple blossom time," which was one of their only ballads. It was really fast stuff, boogie-woogie bugle boy. Anne Bransford, Stephanie Duran, and Julie Trujillo are tackling this topic by playing the girls in a show being put together by Stars Never Fade Productions, narrated by Greg Grissom. It's going to be at 6 o'clock Sunday at Vanessi. It's going to be at 6 o'clock Monday at La Casa Sena. And I believe it's going to be on Saturday as well. And I have a story in today's Pasta Tempo about it, page 22. If you like the Andrew Sisters, head on over there.
Dragonfly School Open House is this Saturday, February 27th, from 10 to noon. You can learn about students, parents, teachers. Everybody will be there. Fun activities for children. It's at 935 Alto Street.
Excellent.
You can go to dragonflyschool.com, 995-9869.
We have a brief in the paper about it today because I wrote one last week and somehow it got changed to the 20th. It wasn't the 25th, it's the 27th, that is tomorrow. So go and have fun, learn about Dragonfly.
Oh, I meant to say when we were talking about Art Feast, I got an email from Heidi Lowen, who is also going to be part of Art Feast. And she's at 315 Johnson Street near the O'Keeffe Museum. So just know that Lowen. Art Feast is all over
the place. It is downtown. It's everywhere, absolutely. Look at the list. I'm sure you can Google Art Feast, but you can also see the excellent piece in Pasta today by Rob DeWalt. He also wrote a great sound waves, real briefly, talking about how, and this is also New Mexico Restaurant Week, how a former chef at La Baca had an accident. They're looking to support, give some money to help him out now. And musicians and restaurateurs are coming together at Wednesday, March 3rd, right after Art Feast, 7 o'clock, at the Tin Star Saloon for a fundraiser. Read Rob's column on it. It's a really nice piece. And among the musicians who've agreed to do it, the wonderful, the beautiful, the songstress, Nacha Mendez.
Yay.
I love her stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a really good piece.
And also at the Tin Star Saloon, tomorrow night from 8:30 to 11:30 is TNT Explosive R&B Review with Tony Buford.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Santa Fe Children's Museum, once in a while we like to plug them. It's the middle of winter. Their kids are driving you nuts. Bring them over there. 1050 Old Pecos Trail, 989-8359. They're open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think Mondays are closed, and Tuesday is school reservations only. New Mexico residents get in a little cheaper than everybody else. Today they're going to have art projects. You can make recycled item art pieces 9 o'clock to noon. And tomorrow they're having make refrigerator shrines using recycled tin cans. And Sunday you can learn about rocks from a geologist, which
What's
is the best
What's a refrigerator shrine?
Well, ain't you ever heard on Shrine on Harvest Moon? This is about the same thing with a refrigerator. So what do you mean? I don't know what they are. They're probably magnets. They're shrines. Remember that guy made the big refrigerator thing up there in the old
stone fridge or
stone
fridge.
And then so maybe they're like reiterating.
That thing
this
was
stuff.
One of the best pieces of public art in Santa Fe, and they made him take it down. And I was so sad because I go to the dog park all the time, and I used to love looking at Fridge Henge on the horizon.
I know. Be good to your dogs. Make sure all their shots are up to date, please.
Oh, yeah. Can you tell a story about that?
Just that I was a bad parent and I didn't get my rabies shots updated and my dog nipped somebody and did not hurt them, thank God. And so he got some quarantine time at the shelter.
Uh-oh.
It's totally my responsibility. Totally.
We are
responsible for our pets and I do not, honestly, I went to see him one night and I just broke down crying. It's totally my fault.
Oh, poor little dog.
So get your shots updated. Sorry to preach to the choir. But
yeah, and also,
important.
And this is a problem because
be nice
it's very expensive veterinary care is just expensive. It seems to have gone up in the last few years, but and having three dogs, it's crazy. It multiplies it by three. But I took my dogs in for their shots, and one of them had to have his teeth cleaned, and that's a procedure where they put them under anesthesia and all that. And one of his teeth was totally broken, had to be pulled.
Uh-huh.
And if you do not provide dental care for your dogs, and the best form of dental care is giving them lots of hard chew bones to chew on, so they clean their own teeth. But if you don't provide dental care for your dogs, that is one of the number one causes of death and disease.
And heart disease. It absolutely is. It's a good point. So, Chuck, you know, you have dogs, and don't just let them, just do your best for them. I feel really bad. It's totally my fault. I didn't mean to bring that up today. Zoom, or Zum, Z-U-M, Tango Meets Gypsy. Five classical musicians who threw some Argentine melodies and rhythms in. 7 o'clock Saturday at the Lenzic. 9881234.
And I think they're going to be on the journey home tonight.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Good plug. 5 o'clock, right?
Yep, between 5 and 6. He's between 5 and 6.
And not to give them a rival thing, but at 8 o'clock Saturday at Santa Fe Complex, Cooper Moore and Jeremy Barnes are going to get together for improvisational music. Should be exciting. There's a cover charge. Call 982-0389. KSFR, wonderful 101.FM.
101.1.
Yeah. We can't mention prices unless it's by donation or free, but most of the stuff you have to pay to get in, and I try to pick stuff that's not too expensive. Sarah Chang and pianist Andrew Von Oyen teaming up at March 4th, 7:30 at the Lenzic, courtesy of the Santa Fe Concert Association.
Lest you think that they are anything but world-class, amazing, knock-your-socks-off.
Why would you think I'd think that? Just because I mentioned their names, I didn't say they're world-class.
No, I don't know why I said it that way, but they're great. They're amazing.
Good.
You should go.
And there's a Lannan event. What do you know about it?
You tell me.
I don't really know this guy's work as much. August Klenzahler, Z-A-L-H-L-E-R, poet. I know he's famous for taking Garrison Kaler to task because, you know, Garrison sometimes reads poems on his show, and he reads them in that deadly deadpan style. It's very funny when when he's reading these romantic poems. And I remember the situation where a few years ago he took him to task. But I don't know a lot about him. He's at the Lenzic. Part of the Lannan event, 7 o'clock. Kate Moses is going to be, from salon.com.
What's the day?
Interviewing. Wednesday night, 7:30, Lannan, right? 988-1234, Wednesday,
3rd.
March 3rd. So we have a Lannan event. We have Art Feast. We have the Andrews Sisters. We have a Mambo Italiano. Lots of things. There's lots of stuff to do. Say what time it is.
It is 8:48.
It's 8:48 now. I'm telling you. Okay, movies. Old Partner, about a 79-year-old rice farmer and his 40-year-old ox. High-grossing picture in South Korea, playing at CCA. Jonathan Richards gave it a nice review. I was not particularly pleased with the very slow-moving Romanian satire police adjective. It's over at the screen. I don't know what to say. I think movies have to move even if they're made from Romania, and this one just sits there sometimes. And I've been thinking about it, but it didn't grab me. It's okay.
But it might grab you.
It might grab some other people. I already mentioned The Last Station, opening at the Vargas. The Crazies is the remake of the George Romero picture from the 70s about the people that are overcome by some sort of bad water or something, and they go nuts. They're like zombies, only they're not.
I saw the trailer for that on
Timothy Olyphant, who I really like.
Terrible.
He's a good actor. He's in it.
It just looks like a gratuitous violence. You know, vehicle.
Well, people love these sort of apocalyptic people go crazy and monsters and zombies come after us.
Hey, you know what we learned the other day?
What?
That not only is the world not going to end on December 21st, 2012, but there is nothing in the Mayan calendar that says anything whatsoever about a shift in consciousness or anything like that. All these Mayan calendar
people.
How'd
you find that out?
Because I went to I interviewed Jerry Sabloff, who is the president of the Santa Fe Institute, and then went to his talk earlier this week, where he was talking about the so-called collapse of the Mayan civilization, which wasn't even really a collapse.
One guy says this and you believe him?
No, every Mayanist says that. It's only non-Mayanists who are possessed by wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Or,
well, remember the whole thing about 2000? I knew somebody that moved to Australia.
Because of Y2K?
Yeah, I just put on some Jane Mansfield movies all night on a DVD player, and the next thing I woke up the next day and I had breakfast.
Yeah, well, and that was a different thing. One of them was attributed, the Y2K thing was attributed to problems caused by computer files not being updated with the four digits of the year.
Yeah.
And the other one is attributed to some kind of cosmic I know not what.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it didn't happen either, because I like being alive even when life is kicking me in the stomach. Split Estate showing 8 o'clock tonight only. Deborah Anderson's picture about the drilling boom for natural gas in Colorado played during the
film
festival.
That is a good movie.
8 o'clock tonight, one time only, CCA.
Oh, my goodness. If you're not doing anything else or after Art Feast or whatever, go. It's a very important movie.
The screen still has a couple of celebrating Chekhov pictures. Their strain is out over a period of weeks. Run and see it. Dare I say Avatar's still running. Crazy Heart down at Regal de Vargas. Oh, I want to plug myself.
Plug.
Cover story of the New Mexican today, not the PASA. My little profile of the wonderful Santa Fe actor, young man, Jack Nation. He's now 5 years old, and he is great as the little boy in Crazy Heart.
Oh.
And so I got an interview with him, and we talked about dinosaurs and being a secret agent. And I'm supposed to go to his house for a birthday party, and I have to disguise myself. What should I go as?
What should you go as? You could go as your dog.
Why would you ask me? What do you want me to do? Put whiskers on my face?
Well, you could go as Ursula Andress.
Why would I go as this? I want to see her.
You could go as an obelisk.
That's it. You're getting abstract on me.
Well, what are you asking me?
Well, like when you go to costume parties, how do you dress up?
I don't know. I have to think about that.
Have you ever been to one?
Yes.
Okay.
I went, actually, last Halloween, I went out as a zombie. And I met some people I knew, and they turned their faces away. They said, I cannot stand to look at you. I thought that was a successful Halloween.
That's pretty good. A Single Man still playing at CCA. I think Colin Firth is pretty good.
I love that movie.
It's a little slow, but it's a very good picture.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Now
looking.
Slow is okay.
No, I think that in this particular case, it is a good picture that around the last third starts to get a little, whereas the Romanian picture, despite the New York Times and the Boston Globe and the Chicago people all saying it's great, that, I mean, go see it and do tell me.
Yeah, you know, I would just like to say, although I 95% agree with your reviews, occasionally there's a movie that I think is spectacular, then you give it two chilies
yeah,
and then people don't go.
It. Well, I don't know about that. Why would they not go? We've had this conversation.
No, that wonderful movie, the Laotian movie, The Betrayal, you gave it two chilies and nobody went. It left after a week.
Why? If they didn't go, that's because they've decided, just a brief interlude, 30 seconds, that they respect my opinion as a critic. And it goes back to that you either pay attention to a critic and respect him or you don't. And if you don't, just go see the movie. Go see the Romanian movie. Call me up. Email me. Tell me what you think.
Hey, did we announce Benchwarmers?
We did.
Okay.
It's the last weekend. I'm very happy to see Leslie Livingston, one of my favorite performers who I haven't seen around town lately, teaming up with David Geist for a concert at Vanessi. Monday and Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. It's not too expensive to get in. And it's called Together Wherever We Go. Remember that song?
No.
Well, here we go. This is where I get to educate you on certain elements of pop culture. Back in the 70s, there was a television show called The Brady Bunch.
Yes, I remember
and
The Brady Bunch.
And one episode of The Brady Bunch, they had to do a talent show. And so Florence Henderson, who was very cute, and Maureen McCormick, who played Marcia, who got cuter and cuter as she and me both got older.
Well, did you see her in the Vagina Monologues when she came to Santa Fe?
That was about 5 years ago.
That was,
yes.
That was quite an experience.
So they teamed up and they sang Together Wherever We Go. And I remember that song. So there. Together.
Well, bully for you.
We go. I think it's from the show Gypsy, but I could be wrong.
I got an email from saying that tomorrow, Saturday, February 28th. Let's see. It says Saturday, February 28th. I'm not going to read this because Sunday is February 28th, so I don't know whether it's Saturday or Sunday.
There we go. Get your press releases right.
Elder Grace is having an event. You can Google Elder Grace.
It's honestly, it's annoying when people get things wrong. We get it wrong, too, by the way.
And they didn't include a phone number, so...
Put the phone number on there.
Yeah,
put the price on there. Put the address on there. Do this stuff.
Okay, Saturday, March 6th. I know that's a week away, but I've been asked to... read this because the American Society for Neurochemistry presents a public outreach forum called Nutrition, Exercise, and Dietary Supplements Impacts on Physical Health and Brain Function. And I know a lot of people around here are interested in brain function. It's at the Santa Fe Convention Center. For more information, you can call 272-4411. That's a 505 number. You can also go to asnpublicforum.org.
Emily Van Cleve, who I haven't seen or heard from in a long time, but I'm pretty darn sure she used to write for Pasta Tiempo about 10, 12, 15 years ago when I started, is having an exhibit of paintings called Familiar Yet Elusive at the Santa Fe Public Library, main branch. Go upstairs to the Tybee Davis Satin Gallery. You can go see it on your own. Nobody's going to bug you and say, buy one. runs through March. I'm going to pop over there and see it. I love that library, by the way. Libraries are very underrated. I still go and look through old reference books instead of Googling stuff.
Do you really?
I do.
I Google everything. I don't go to the library unless I truly can't find something.
I will also say the library is two doors down from the Santa Fe, New Mexican, so it's not
easy to
jump in my car.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, I love libraries.
Hey, did we talk about, this is tomorrow from 10:30 to 12:30 in the morning, Oscar Wilde, The Picture of Dorian Gray Spring Community Seminar at KSFR. It's a one-day, I wonder if people can, well, for more information, you can call 984-6117. I don't know if you have to sign up for those in advance.
That's amazing.
But Picture of Dorian Gray, that's great. That's a great book.
Maria Finn is going to talk about her book, Hold Me Tight and Tangle Me Home, 6 o'clock Thursday, Collected Works. I think we have a book review of that. Remember that Beatles song, Hold Me Tight? Hold me tight. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, tonight, tonight. We have a docent talk at New Mexico Museum of Art with Johnny Winona Ross. It's 12:15 on Wednesday in the afternoon, 107 West Palace Avenue. Head on over, 476-5072. And I think today is the brown bag and brain power lunch with Mark Gardner talking about On the Trail of Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett. Noon, New Mexico
History
Museum.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that last week. I had him on the, for some reason, I had him on the air a week early. He's absolutely terrific. Mark Lee Gardner, Pat Garrett, and Billy the Kid wrote a kind of dual biography
of
them.
Really interesting dual biography.
It's very good.
I think it's really interesting, the light it sheds on Pat Garrett.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, so anyway, 476-5090, noon today. Those brown bag things, there's like 40 seats. If you're not there at 11:30, you're in trouble.
Oh, okay.
So head on over.
So,
I was going to plug Marty Rosenberg.
Yes.
You had him on your show. You go ahead.
No, Marty Rosenberg will be at Collected Works Bookstore tonight at
Again.
6 o'clock.
Okay.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, Collected Works is doing all this stuff. Okay.
And
you're right.
I will be introducing him.
He's reading from Sacred Grounds, Cafe Musings from the Mountains of Santa Fe and Adobe Walls.
Yes.
You're introducing him?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, there we have it.
How come you get to introduce everybody and all I get to do is show up after and sweep up?
You have a very good broom.
Somehow or other, you just turned that into a compliment, and that smile of yours is made it. Okay, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Fashion Blowout Week at the Wheelwright Mary Cabot Wheelwright Library on Sunday, February 28th, this Sunday. Native Chic Partners in Design series of trunk shows has been a great success. So they are hosting a fifth event from 3 to 5 on the 28th with Native American designers and jewelers and all kinds of things. So you can go over to the Wheelwright Museum, go to wheelwright.org and find out more.
Can I come back next week?
You can come back every week.
Oh, boy.
We love you just the way you are.
Good. I'll see you next week at 8:30.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'm Mary Charlotte. Robert Knott is with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican.
And the Daily
with
Paper
the New Mexican.
New Mexican. Take a look at my story on Jack Nation.
Yes. Beautiful cover on the Pasa Tiempo today.
Art Feast.
I must say. Yeah, Art Feast. We are streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Got lots of Facebook traffic. It's nice to connect with people that way. You're not on Facebook.
No. Usually my parole officer finds me that way, so I try not to get on there.
Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, starring the fabulous Dan Garrity, Bill Dupuis, and many others. They're great.
They're
they
great
did such a wonderful
Bill's a great
job.
Journalist. And Dan, I just love Dan's. I'm going to do some shtick with Dan on the radio.
Yeah, he's very funny. He's got a great voice. He's a great guy, great journalist. So thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today.
Mary
Lynn is truly awesome. She is so good. And after that, Jazz a la Carta with Ricardo Perez.
Ricardo Perez.
So what do you have to sing?
I have to sing Singing in Sing Sing. It's a show that I'm musical in prison. Terrific piece. And then I got to run around. I got stuff to do all day. I'll be here and there and yonder. I'm going to go see Meow Wolf next week.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. I wish I could see it both weekends and see how it evolves, because I would think a piece like that, because it's so big to see how it changes. Anyway, bye.
Adios.